Last few weeks, we've been doing a series on marriage killers. I hope that this series has helped your marriage. There are specific things that can come into our marriage and destroy the intimacy between the husband and the wife. And we label these as marriage killers. Sometimes these things can be very subtle. Sometimes they take time for them to appear in our marriage. When we become familiar with one another and we start to take each other for granted over a certain period of time, this will open up our marriage to these marriage killers. A Christian marriage, as we have said, is more than just living together under the same roof or having a piece of paper, a certificate that says that you are married. Marriage is a divine institution. It is a divine institution. Started at the very beginning of the Bible, the very beginning of the creation of man. Therefore, when we think of marriage, and this is something that people have a problem with, they don't consider the marriage to be holy ground. It is holy ground because God is the one who made marriage. He is the one that established marriage between the husband and the wife. Jesus said that man and woman are no longer two, but they are one. A one flesh relationship. And that speaks of intimacy. That speaks of closeness. It speaks of companionship. Mutual thoughts, mutual ideas and feelings and physical bodies being shared in a relationship. When we think of marriage, we must think of two people who really enjoy one another's company. A Christian marriage should be two people who really enjoy one another's company. More than anything else, they want to be together. They want to share life with each other. They can laugh together. They can cry together. They can serve God together. They can encourage one another in the faith. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. They have a good reward for their labor. Marriage is a bond. It is a bond. And it is sealed by a deep commitment before God and before each other. To have and to hold, for better or for worse, richer or poor, sickness and in health, to love, to cherish, unto death do us part. Those are more than just words. More than just words. People say those things and yet turn around and behave in such a manner and live in such a manner that is very, very dishonoring to God. Vows, they call them. Vows. Vows before an almighty God. Do people consider that? Do people that are married really consider? I mean, it's faith, right? I mean, obviously, if they understood and were enlightened to the fact that they were speaking before almighty God when they got married and made those vows, then if they lived by faith, they would stick with what they said, right? If they lived by faith. And that's the problem. Most people don't live by faith. They just think those were words said in front of a man, in front of an audience. Psalm 61:8 says, so will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Daily perform my vows. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 4 and 5. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it. For He has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Christian marriage is powerful. There should be no other human relationship like it. You can't compare anything with it. Jesus commanded, what God has put together, let no man separate. That is an imperative. In the Greek grammar, He says, let no man separate. It is a command. Why did Jesus command, let no man separate? Because separation is possible. It is possible. And He is warning us against it. Marriage killers cause distance. They cause coldness. They cause separation in the marriage relationship. It turns what is to be unique, what is to be special, what is to be holy, into something that is profane and common. It's so important that we define exactly what these marriage killers are. Why? Because we can then guard against these things coming into our marriages. In the past couple of weeks, I brought to our attention what many others have also considered to be deadly marriage killers. The first one was poor communication. Poor communication. And the second one that we looked at last week was selfishness. Another problem that can be in a marriage that maybe you have not thought of this one is the issue of change. The issue of change. It is so easy to look at your spouse as the problem when your marriage relationship is not going smoothly. It is so easy to look at your spouse when there is a problem in your marriage. Only if my spouse would just change in this area, I just know the marriage would be much better. Often individuals in the marriage look to change their partner as a way to make their marriage better. One of the big problems in marriages is the effort of an unhappy partner to try to change their spouse. They have the wrong idea that there will be no improvement in the marriage until my spouse decides to make certain changes. No improvement will take place until my spouse decides to make changes. The focus is putting change on one spouse. They have a little wish list. How many of you married people keep a little list of things that if their partner could change, then they would have a marriage that God would want them to have? What's the big problem with that? The problem is this. You and I cannot change another person. You cannot change me, and I cannot change you. Absolutely impossible. Because we do not have control over another human being. You cannot control people in your life, what they do or what they do not do. The idea that your spouse must change for you to have a great, happy, godly marriage is absolutely ludicrous. It is ridiculous. It is a marriage killer. It is a hopeless situation. Did you hear that this morning? If you are focusing on your spouse and saying that there will be no improvement in my marriage until my spouse decides to change, you are looking at a hopeless situation. One partner trying to force change on another. Marriage killer. Partners excusing themselves and blaming each other. One writer said, "Frustration and discontent often causes us to look at everyone around us to change in order to rediscover our happiness." If you try to force your partner to change, most likely it won't happen. And in fact, you will end up with more strife, more arguments, more separation, and a lot more frustration. If you attempt to change your spouse, I guarantee you that it will be perceived as controlling. Controlling. And most human beings do not like to be controlled. They resist it. They fight against it. So please understand, that doesn't mean that your spouse can't change. That doesn't mean that your spouse won't change. But my point this morning is this. It means that we are not the ones that are going to change them. Force will not change them. A marriage killer is when a spouse begins to legislate change in his partner. All attempts to change others will definitely be perceived as control, and it will just result in more conflict. If you want your marriage to change, you want your marriage to improve, maybe your marriage doesn't need a radical change, but maybe you would like to improve certain areas in your marriage. I think we all would. Please understand, don't point to your partner as the problem. So what's the alternative? What's the alternative if we are not to try to change our spouse? What is the alternative? If you want a better marriage relationship, and I think we all do, the place to begin is with yourself. The place to begin is with yourself. That is the rule. You can't change your partner, but you can always change yourself. You know, marriage must be understood as a place of personal growth. It really is. Marriage is a habitation, if you will, of a place of personal growth. Character development. The secret to change in your partner. You want to change your partner? The secret to change in your partner is less about focusing on them and more about focusing on yourself. The best possibility you have of change in your spouse is first to change yourself. The changes you make will automatically, I totally believe this, in some measure, if you begin to change yourself, the changes will have a positive effect and influence on your marriage. And it will inspire your partner to begin to make changes. The most productive move that a spouse in a marriage relationship can make when they are not satisfied with the direction that the marriage is taking. The most productive step that they can make. If your life is not going the way you would like to have it go, if there are problems in your life that are not going the way you would like them to go, the most productive step that anyone can make, very important, change yourself. Change yourself. Change starts with yourself and not your partner. That is a rule. That has to be in our mind all the time. If you want to defeat this marriage killer, change begins with yourself and not your partner. Don't forget this. It is powerful. It will revolutionize your marriage. I guarantee you, if you want improvement in your marriage, this is the way to revolutionize your relationship. It will revolutionize your personal relationship and walk with God. But you know what? We're proud people sometimes, aren't we? We resist change. It's much easier. Not my fault. It's his fault. It's her fault. It's a hard rule to embrace. Most of us want to see the problem as the other person in our life. You don't understand. But let me tell you this. It's much easier to change yourself than try to change someone else. Have a humble attitude. Have a humble posture, a humble approach that your partner is not the problem. I am the problem. That is step one in the beginning of a godly marriage. My partner is not the problem. I am the problem. This goes well with what we talked about last week with selfishness. It's not about what I get out of the marriage. Focus on what you can do. Begin thinking about your spouse. What does she like? What makes him feel more loved? What puts a smile on his face? What makes her laugh? And then after you have those good thoughts, put those thoughts to what? Action! One writer said this. Einstein said that insanity is doing something over and over again and expecting different results. Such is the case with the way we interact with our partners. By focusing on our own thoughts, actions, and words, we can change the equilibrium of our relationship, even if only just a little. If we act differently, then our partner will have to respond to this change. So by creating a different set of variables in yourself, you set the stage for a different response in your partner. Basically, surprise your spouse in the way you respond and react. If you have a normal way, a normal pattern, you know, after we're married for a while, we have this game we play. We have the normal pattern of respond and response. My wife will say something, I know for sure exactly how I'm going to respond, and she knows how I'm going to respond. And we just do it over and over again. You know? Surprise! Create new variables in yourself and respond in a different way. cease from striving to make changes in your spouse, making the focus of your marriage your partner. This will only cause more strife. This will only cause more contention. If you want more affection in your marriage, what do you complain about? Well, you know, he's just not affectionate. You be more affectionate. I just want our marriage to have better communication. You better communicate. I just wish that they were a little more kinder in their and caring for me. I feel alone sometimes. You start being more caring and more kind. He never talks. You start talking and discussing. Jesus gave the principle in Matthew 7:12. However you want people to treat you, so treat them. For this is the law and the prophets. Jesus told us this. Make changes in yourself that you want to see in your marriage. Make changes in yourself that you want to see in your marriage. If you want improvement in your marriage. If you're not happy in the direction that your marriage is going. If you have your Bible, turn to Romans 12:18. Romans 12:18. Paul writes here, very interesting verse, and it goes so well with what we're sharing this morning. Paul writes, if it is possible, as much as depends on your spouse, live peaceably with all men. Or live peaceably with your spouse. I put the spouse in there. I'm adding a little bit to it for our context. But it says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. I'm reading from the New King James. Notice the words, as much as depends on you. You see the word you there? Not the other guy. Not the other person, but you. The focus here in this verse is you. Are you with me this morning? The focus is not the other person, not what they're supposed to be doing or not doing. Keep the focus in the marriage on you. You cannot control or change your spouse. That is not your responsibility. You are responsible only for your part in change in the marriage. Paul is saying here, you should not be the reason and source of conflict. You should not be the reason and source of strife in your marriage. That's what he's saying. As much as depends on you. Live peaceably with all men. Don't let contention start with you. Don't let strife come from you. Peace and harmony, oneness should be the goal of our marriage. And it says here, I am to make this possible. I'm to make this possible. If it is possible, I'm to make this possible. As much as it depends upon you. From my side, I am to make this possible. I do what I can do to make the changes in myself and to make this happen. Strife and division is always going to be the end result of you trying to force your partner to change. So we need to stop looking at our partner. But rather, ask ourselves, what can I do? What can I do? What do I need to change? Maybe I'm doing something or I'm not doing something. What do I need to change to help the marriage? How many people take this approach when they have problems and issues in their marriage? I doubt many do. Look up here, please. Everybody stare up here. Looking all over at the children now. Kids will be kids. You can see them afterwards. Look at yourself in the mirror. Stop blaming others. Ask yourself this morning, how are you hindering the improvement of your marriage? How are you hindering your partner from changing? That could be a possibility. Is there something that... How's that? How could I hinder my partner from changing? Well, let me ask you a question. Is there something that you do in your marriage that irritates your partner? And you haven't changed it. And you continue to do it. And you know it irritates them. You're not helping them change. What would you be able to do to make your marriage less stressful and more enjoyable? Get on your knees. Ask God. Ask God if there's something that He needs to show you that you need to be doing to improve your marriage. Change must begin with you and not your partner. The most common thing that marriages do today is when they have a problem, they focus on the other person. And what they did wrong and what they're not doing. And you think the problem will get better if that person would just change. Turn to Matthew 7. Jesus tells us where to focus on, or who to focus on first when it comes to change. Jesus says in Matthew 7 verse 3, "Why do you look at the speck?" I think the King James says mote. Is it mote? "In your brother's eye." You could put in there spouse. Why do you look at the mote or speck in your spouse's eye? But do not consider, what's the King James say? Beam or plank in your own eye. Or how can you say to your spouse, I'm putting that in there, your brother, she is your brother in Christian sense, "Let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye." Hypocrite. First remove the beam or plank from your own eye, and you will see clearly to remove the speck or mote from your spouse's eye. You see here, according to Jesus Christ, change does not start with you looking at all the things that your spouse needs to change. Jesus is saying here, hey, what about your own life? What about the plank in your eye? Focus there first. Look there first. Now, Jesus is not saying that your spouse doesn't have faults. He even says here that they have a speck. They do, and they also need to change. But despite that, that is not where we begin. Jesus wants us to focus first on our part. One writer said, in the marriage, the goal should be self-reformation, not spousal reformation. The husband and wife need to stop looking at the specks in each other's life, and they need to make changes in their own. Jesus is telling us, look at yourself first. See what's happening at home first. Start at home first. Understand what you have to do and do it. Instead of confronting your spouse about issues that you feel need to be addressed, how about confronting yourself with what you should be doing? And you know what? Some people don't like to do that. Some people don't like to be honest with themselves. They have no problem being honest with someone else and their problems, but they have a problem with being honest with themselves and their own problems. Ask yourself, what is the plank? What is the plank in our eye? What is the plank in my own eye? What am I to be doing in the marriage? How can I make the marriage better? What do I need to do to make my spouse happy? Ask these questions. These are questions that should be asked. For most of us here this morning, speaking specifically of myself, it can be very hard to shift the focus from others to ourselves. And you know why that is? That's pride. It's pride. It's selfishness. It's self-centered living. But you know what? If you really want to take the giant step and you really want to be humble, let your spouse help you out. Ask them to write down some faults, some things that need to be changed, some things that they would like to see improved in the marriage. You know, sometimes we need help seeing these things, right? We can be totally oblivious to certain things that maybe that we are doing and causing problems in the marriage, and we're not aware of it. Maybe we were raised in a certain way, a certain culture. Maybe we can't see, and we need help. But what a humble thing to do is to go to your spouse and say, can you help me? And say, can you show me if there are certain things that would make, that if I changed, would make the marriage better? And by the way, when you start reading that list, however long it might be, sometimes it could possibly be as thick as a book. Take it easy at first. Don't overload, all right? Don't overload. You've heard of little steps, taking little steps. When you get that list, the key is not to make excuses. The key is not to procrastinate. The key is not to justify or blame someone or something, but rather go to work. Go to work and commit yourself to change. I'm telling you, you can't lose with this kind of approach. You can't lose. You cannot lose when you approach anything with humility. You never lose. It's only when you approach things with pride and self-centeredness is when the devil gets involved, contention and strife and division is the result. But with humility, the devil is cast out and the marriage killer is killed. Humility always wins. And it will win your Christian partner. Proverbs 13:10 says, "By pride comes nothing but strife. But with the well-advised is wisdom." The well-advised is wisdom. If your spouse has any fear of God whatsoever, they are going to respond positively to your humble approach. One writer said, when one person in a relationship begins to change, when one person in a relationship begins to change, the other will notice. And he or she will start to modify their behavior and actions as well. Make yourself accountable. Go even further in your humble approach. And make yourself accountable to change. And this is really important. This takes even a greater degree of humility. Tell your spouse to let you know how you're doing every day. Ask your spouse, "How am I doing today, honey? How am I doing in these areas? Am I improving?" Accountability. We do believe in accountability truth, right? Oh, but that's before God, right? Sure. "Honey, do you have any suggestions for me this week? Any suggestions that I need to do this?" Imagine two people in a marriage like that, behaving like that. What that will cause? You think there's going to be any problems there? What any suggestions you have for me? Seek to change in order to please your spouse. Let me make one huge clarification about a Christian marriage. Now, I'm addressing, in our church, I'm addressing people that are Christian disciples, that are seeking the kingdom of God first. They want to rule and reign with Christ, and they want to keep the commands of God. They want holiness in their lives, both partners. We don't have the whole mixed marriage situation going on here. Thank God for that. In this case, I truly believe the roles of the husband and wife are very, very essential, very, very important. Who is the head of the home? The husband. Who is the ruler of the home? The husband. He's the leader. He is the one that God has given authority and put over the woman. Therefore, I believe if the Christian marriage has problems, I said this last week, he is responsible. It is his duty to make sure that those that are under his domain as the ruler are satisfied and happy. Marriage killers come in on his watch. And as the head, he is to lead his family by what? Example. Not just words, but by example. Amen? Men, you agree with that? We are to be leading our families by example. Therefore, we must do what we can do as men, as husbands, to direct the marriage back in the right direction if it is going in the wrong direction. It is our responsibility. We're the ones that let it go in the wrong direction. Therefore, it is our responsibility to bring the marriage back in the right direction. What am I getting at this morning? Change must start with the husband. He reveals change in his family and leads by example and shows change in his family. Adam blamed his wife. But you know, when God confronted him in the Garden of Eden for sinning, God didn't take his excuse. God did not recognize his excuse. His excuse was, well, it's the woman. Now, although this is true for Christian husbands, wives understand that you have a responsibility to apply the same principle to your own lives. Regardless of what your husbands do, the rule in the marriage relationship, change starts with yourself and not your partner. One writer said this, "So the one thing you should never overdo in marriage is to try to change your spouse. Some honest discussions about your needs in the marriage are fine. But a daily concerted effort to change the person on the other side of the bed is the best way to end up sleeping alone." I believe that. I believe that's a good statement, true statement. We have to keep in mind that a good, godly marriage takes two people. It takes two people. So ultimately, in the marriage relationship, it is going to depend upon both parties in order to have a good, godly marriage. When only one person is open to change, there are limitations. You can only take the relationship so far. It takes two. But my point this morning is this. You're not helpless. You are not helpless. There is something that you can do to improve the equality of your marriage. No matter what the other party's doing or not doing. You don't have to sit around and wait for the other person to make changes in order to improve in some measure your marriage relationship. Let me just say this. If you start to make changes and you notice that your partner is not making changes, in the beginning, when you start initiating this approach, you'll feel a little resentful. You might even feel a little used. Putting all the effort forth, putting all the work forth, and you're the only one doing it. Trying to improve your marriage. But let me just say this, be patient. Be patient. It is worth it. It is worth it. In closing this morning, if you want positive change in your marriage, be ready to ask yourself the question, am I willing to change myself? Am I willing to change myself? Change begins with yourself, not your partner. That is a marriage killer that will destroy your marriage relationship. If you put the focus on your partner and what they are not performing and what they are not doing and how they are not carrying out what they are supposed to do in their responsibility in the home. Let's pray.